that sounded just like walking through the autumn leaves and coming to piles of leaves and having to go around them or jump in them, as you prefer. Well, I know that this isn't Boston or even downtown Portland. There aren't many tall buildings right nearby, so for most of us, it might make more sense to prepare a front porch speech than an elevator speech. That's what I'll be sharing some thoughts on today. It's common in the U.S. for people to come to our front porches with a prepared religious speech. So why not reply with one of our own? What do you say about this religious way we are traveling together when you only have a few moments to say it? Can you say it in a language that most people can understand? Well, here's some examples that I've culled over the years from our national magazine, the UU World. Here's the first one. Most religions work to get people into heaven. Unitarian Universalists work to get heaven into people. That's pretty snappy. But it doesn't say that much about this particular religious pathway, this identity. Here's the second one. I'm going to have to take a deep breath for this one. Unitarian Universalism grew out of Christianity, with the Unitarians believing in the unity of God and the Universalists believing in universal salvation. We have developed into a religion that draws spiritual wisdom from many sources. It's a place where people come together to share and learn from each other's spiritual journey. We help each other in our search for God or the sacred, even though we realize that each person's vision of God or the sacred is different. We believe in the importance of individual conscience, spiritually and socially, as well as the responsibility toward the community and creation that comes from that freedom. Whoa, I need a sip of water after that one. This one is everything that the first one's not, with history and development and a summary of current approaches. But it has no snap or sparkle or nip or winkle. Three, Unitarian Universalists believe that all life is sacred, all existence is interconnected, and that justice and compassion must be the foundation of our thoughts and deeds. You could do worse than this. It's got a sense of wonder and a sense of moral rigor, and those are the stuff of religion, if anything is. But it's still a little bit nonspecific, and it lacks a sense of invitation. Here's the fifth one. As an institution, Unitarian Universalism is concerned with this life and what can be done to make it better for most people. In the theological or spiritual realm, it's do it yourself. Your responsibility is to determine for yourself what speaks to you and what you need to believe. Okay, I get it. But when it comes to do it yourself, would you feel better about trying a do it yourself front porch or a do it yourself elevator? That's a no-brainer for me. Oh, Bruce is smiling because he's actually built an elevator. So let's see what we can learn about constructing front porch speeches by first thinking about how to build an actual front porch. To start with, it's best to choose framing material that, one, comes in manageable dimensions, two, is rot resistant and durable, three, is straight and square and true, four, is commonly available, not rare or exotic. We can use such materials later in our finishing touches. Pay close attention to first things first, and things will go better later on. Manageable dimensions mean working with sizes that you can handle, so go for shorter lengths and lighter weights, nothing too long or heavy. Pick materials that are straight and true, no twists or cracks, that are rot-resistant to stand the test of time, that are easy to describe and easy to find. First things first. There's someone ringing the front door. We haven't finished the porch and someone's already ringing our bell. We put first things first in any list for a reason. Although that reason may not always be apparent. Ideally, the first item in a list serves as a strong introduction. The very placement carries a message. If you hear nothing else, hear this and remember. The first commandment of the Hebrew Bible may be read as the key to all the others. The First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution is taken by many as the beating heart of our national covenant, the core agreement about how we can stick together with all our similarities and our differences. The Golden Rule is known, if not practiced, by almost everybody, and is probably the first moral teaching that most of us commit to memory. The second is probably finders, keepers, losers, weepers, which means doing pretty much the opposite of the golden rule. Think about it. These statements are all manageable in size, rot-resistant and durable, straightforward and easily adapted into bigger structures. They're widely available off the top of almost every head and the tip of almost every tongue. Let's use them and see what we can put together. Let's start with the oldest, the first commandment from the book of Deuteronomy. It starts with an I statement, nice and straight. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage or slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a graven images. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. The first commandment links what? It links bondage, slavery, to idolatry, and says no to both. Bill Sinkford recalls our Unitarian affirmations of one God, one spirit of life, one power of love, all positive notions, but there was also a negative or oppositional side to Unitarian thinking. Old-time Unitarians saw the Orthodox God in three persons as a three-headed graven image installed by church authority. Of course, no one admits to believing in idols. Idolatry reveals itself in practice, in the sacrifice of what's alive to what's lifeless. We sacrifice our children, our health, our environment, now to this, now to that, but the idol stays hungry, empty, right down to those hollow feet of clay. Serve it what you will, it always demands more. It won't fill up like a pot or a bowl. It's more like a black hole in space without soul. I think most of us recognize that there's something idolatrous about posting a Ten Commandments monument in a courthouse square, and that there's something suspicious about how none of those monuments include the First Commandment's words against slavery. Look it up on Google. The folks who participated in our elevator speech workshop will remember seeing the minister get hot under the collar and angry when bringing up these monuments. They are offensive to me. But there it is, a Bible page graven in stone. Some treat their book of scriptures like an idol to be worshipped, or a leader of their political party, or their economic system, you name it. Someone said that idolatry means to ascribe ultimate worth to things that are not ultimate. But Unitarians fought for freedom from any idolatry of body, mind, or soul. For many, as Sinkford mentioned, that freedom has included freedom from any fixed idea of God, which is not too surprising. Nor is it unbiblical. Time and again, the God of the Bible warns us against making or worshiping an idol of him, an idol of clay or stone or language, maybe. It's as if God is saying that he, she, or it will not be imprisoned by any of these media, leashed or collared to be used like an attack dog against folks we don't like. When atheists and agnostics say, "Ain't no such thing as that God of yours," a real God might say, "Amen, you're right about that." I think most of us affirm the spirit of this great commandment, even if God words leave us cold. The First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution is just as powerful as the First Commandment, and it resembles it in some important ways. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. If that's not the beating heart of the Constitution, I don't know what is. And if it doesn't echo the Bible's prohibition of idolatry, I don't know what does. No religion shall be set up over all or be forbidden to any. There will be no words that everyone is commanded to utter, no prayers or creeds or theologies, nor will there be words that can't be spoken, printed, and shared. No one can tell us who can congregate or how, for politics or prayer or play. No one stands above us all like a graven image, sacrosanct and immune from criticism and a calling to accounts. No church or party, no bank or corporation, no priest or king or queen or president shall act the part of God. Not on our watch. No, sir. Versions of the Golden Rule appear in every world religion, but most of us learned a popular version that's easy to remember. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's nice and straight, and it seems easy to handle. I guess it's really more of a tool than a building material, something like an old-fashioned ruler or yardstick. The Gospel of Matthew puts it like this: judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that's in your own eye? Speaking of building materials. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there's a log in your own eye? So whatever you wish that men would do to you, do so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. The Gospel of Luke makes things even more specific. I say to you that here, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To him who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And as you wish that men would do to you, do so to them. I trust that you don't need me to break this down any more for you or to draw it out any longer. That's the way it is to work with good quality materials that come in the right dimensions already. I trust that you've already degendered the language and worked out how self-destructive and self-abusive people will need some extra training before working with this rule. Please don't do unto me like you do unto yourself until you learn to do a heck of a lot better. Please. And then we can give it a try. You could say that old-time universalists simply applied the Golden Rule when it came to sending folks to heaven or hell. How could you wish eternal joy for yourself while wishing eternal pain for someone else? I'm sure that many non-universalists would say, hey, it's not me sending other people to hell, it's God. To which the universalists would have said, yeah, right. We're sure that your ideas about who God sends one way and who goes the other have nothing to do with how you feel about them. Wink, wink. But no, at the end of days, there are no finders, keepers, losers, weepers. All are found. All are kept. There will be no loss or weeping then. There's no need to prepare for rejection, dejection, disappointment, disgust, hunching your shoulders, clenching your teeth, holding your breath. Come off of high alert. Come off of high alert. There is no endless hurt. There is no endless hurt. God's love is forever for all. God's love is forever for all. That's how old universalism measured life beyond death by the golden rule. Is it also true? I don't know. But that's what our forebears so clearly, dearly believed. Maybe all it takes to make it true in this life is practice and companions. And we'll get by with a little help from our friends. So here we have it. First commandment, First Amendment, golden rule. They're all the right length already and a decent weight to handle. They've proved to be long-lasting through centuries and millennia of good times and bad. But now it's time to put it all together into a front porch. Measure, cut, hammer, knock. Who's there? Here's my front porch speech, ready to go. Unitarian Universalists affirm the spirit of the First Commandment, the First Amendment, and the Golden Rule. The Bible's First Commandment says, idolatry means slavery, so no thanks, I'll take freedom. The Constitution's First Amendment links freedom of religion to freedom of expression and expects us to challenge the claims of the powerful. You know the Golden Rule, and I'll bet you think there should be no exceptions to it. Neither do we. So if you ask us how to be saved, we'll tell you the best way is to live as if everyone has got to be. First Commandment, First Amendment, and the Golden Rule for everybody. First Commandment, First Amendment, and the Golden Rule for everybody. What do you think? Does that make you feel safe enough to hang around together on the porch for some coffee, tea, or lemonade? Does it make you happy that I didn't try to build a do-it-yourself elevator and invite you for a ride? If it doesn't work for you, I invite you to take it apart and salvage whatever materials you can use. Or just borrow it temporarily while yours is still under construction and tell people, now this is what my minister says. Finders keepers. Let me keep what's awkward or confusing while you find what works for you. First Commandment, First Amendment, and the Golden Rule for everybody. How we start is important, but remember, it's just a start. The front porch isn't the whole house. That should be clear from the name. Unitarian, Universalist, a 10-syllable name that's only equaled by Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or African Methodist Episcopal. Our name gives fair warning to everyone that there's still a lot to talk about. Whatever we say the first time we meet, there's a big house to explore after you get past the front porch. I hope that all of this has given you some ideas of your own. As our neighbor Bill Singford said, "Put your speech may be very different from mine, but please continue to quote, put a name to what calls you and to what you find yourself called to do in response. Practice telling it to others. We have good news for a world that badly needs it. We really do. And really knowing that may be the best place to start. Blessed be."
I invite you now into a spirit of meditation and prayer. Close your eyes if you wish. Get comfortable. Place your feet on the floor.